from Callie Thompson.
My name is Callie Dale Thompson, and we, my husband and I, Joshua, have been going to City Church for over 3 years. Initially, when we started coming to City Church, we did not serve. I grew up serving in the, you know, in fifth grade on up, and my husband didn't really have a church growing up that like really implemented kids or youth serving, and so he's not super used to that concept, and I really wanted to serve. During a serve challenge, I just heard like God call me to serve, and I felt like, why do I have to wait on Joshua? Like, I can do this myself. And it changed the community of City Church for me because it makes it more familiar and it makes you just feel more welcome and heard. And so getting to know more people and some of the people we hang out with outside of church, and it's nice to have a community that is very like-minded. I'm a pediatric physical therapist assistant. Kids are my comfort zone, and so I've really enjoyed being with kids in general. They make me feel really smart and funny. They always laugh at my jokes. And what I would say to someone who is thinking about serving and hasn't taken the step is to just do it. The fulfillment that you get from it is absolutely phenomenal. The community that you get to be around is really amazing. The men and women that I've gotten to meet through serving has been such a benefit to my life. However much you can step in, do it. Even if it's just a little toe or if you jump full in.
That's good. Thank you, Callie, for sharing your story. Well, good morning. Obviously, you didn't manage your time wisely last night, which is cool because you can come to 11:30, right? Sleep as long as you want. So, man, today is a dangerous Sunday, all right? Not only is it time change Sunday, daylight savings time, we have weather, and I'm talking about the beautiful topic of money. I like to take those kind of risks. So welcome to City Church this morning. We're glad that you're here. In Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus on a mountain, where I like to find myself as often as possible. And we know we have one mountain that's not really a mountain called Turkey Mountain here in Tulsa. But we find Jesus on this mountain, and he is really delivering this new Torah to the people, almost like this new Moses. And he's teaching the people about these Beatitudes, and his disciples are there, and he tells them, I want you to be salt and light. And they're like, what in the world is he talking about? Because it's just so confusing. And then Jesus goes on, he says, above everything else, I want you to seek my kingdom, the kingdom of God, and put that before anything else in your life. And then right in the middle of that message, in Matthew 6, he gives this speech. We pick it up in verse 19. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body, and when the eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. For no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store away food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Mammon, what we know as money, is one of the central issues in the life as we follow Jesus. It's one of the key issues as a disciple of Jesus. And if you haven't figured this out yet in life, Jesus can be incredibly difficult. That's why we have the series, Jesus the Radical. Is he said things that rocked people. It caused them to think and think, man, what in the world is he talking about? Jesus never says, rarely says anything in the Gospels that people fully understood. And the moment that they did understand what he was saying, they wanted to take his life. They wanted to kill him. Have you ever thought about this? What has shaped your idea of money? Where did that imagination come from? Where did that originate from? At your core, where did that come from? You see, at 45 years old this morning, I've had a few friends, some rich, some poor. I've had rich friends who I've seen be the most greedy, covetous, unholy people that I know. And I've seen some of my poor friends be some of the greedy, covetous, most unholy people that I know. But I also have some rich friends who are the most godly, generous, holy people that I know. And I have some poor friends who are some of the most godly, generous, and most holy people that I know. What is it that you want? And how did you come to want it? Have you thought about that? What is it that you want? And how did you come to want it? What is mammon? I love what Peter Kreef says. He says, mammon is the inordinate desire to possess wealth, goods, or objects of abstract value with the intention to keep it for oneself, far beyond the dictates of basic survival and comfort. It is applied to a markedly high desire for the pursuit of wealth, status, and power. Greed is similarly an inordinate desire to acquire or possess more than one needs. Money is ubiquitously, say that three times, tempting because of a kind of umbrella principle covering everything money can buy. It also is, or rather falsely promises to be, a security blanket against change. It apes divine self-sufficiency. He goes on, he says, mammon is not desire as such, or even desire for temporal possessions as such, but the immoderated desire for them. For it is natural to man to desire external things as means, but mammon takes them into ends, into gods. And when a creature is made into a god, it becomes a devil. You see, Jesus put mammon as the primary competitor to the people of God. You see, mammon sets itself up as a god, and it conditions us and tells us, I will meet all of your needs. All you need is me. Douglas Jones did a beautiful job unpacking mammon. He said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Jesus didn't deny that money was a god. That god even has a name, mammon. Jesus affirmed mammon as the sole serious competitor to the Trinity. And Jesus understood the antithesis or contrast between God's way and mammon's way as the most fundamental distinction in all of life and history. And he didn't divide the world into left versus right or liberal versus conservative or the envious versus the entrepreneur or the Christian versus Muslim. Jesus didn't make mammon just a side temptation for a few like we do. Typical Christians tend to shrink mammon into one of many small idols. For Jesus, mammon wasn't one idol among many equals. He singled it out as the direct competitor to God. And he never contrasted the idols of sexuality or knowledge of the earth in such stark opposition to God. Jesus never said, you can't serve sexuality in God or knowledge in God. These things were idols too. This is the tension that you and I live in this world. Is everywhere we look, there's a culture that is trying to serve both. And here's what happens when we begin to serve both. It distorts and it destroys your heart. It tells us that you will love one and hate the other. And that is true. See, mammon is the plan of the enemy to get you to trust in something other than God. We go back to the very beginning of the root of mammon. We find that in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 1, Adam and Eve controlled the world. They had everything at their disclosure. They were God's image bearers. He said, you were crowned with glory and splendor. You are the jewel of all creation. And then Satan comes along and says, hey, by the way, God's holding out on you. He didn't give you the entire picture. There's something more. And they leaned in. They said, tell us more about this. If you take what I am offering you, you can actually become like God. And if you become like God, you won't need him any longer. See, this was the chief lie that burst brokenness into our world forever. Ezekiel paints a beautiful picture, the prophet, of what mammon does to our hearts. In chapter 28, it says, the Lord came to me, son of man, take up a lament, considering the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Carnelian, crystallite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli. Ladies, if you're looking for a great stone for an engagement ring, I would recommend the lapis lazuli, because it's just fun to say. Turquoise and beryl, your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. And you were anointed as a guardian cherub, so I ordained you. And you were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. You see, wealth begins to preach to our heart. It begins to take root in our lives. And the message of wealth says you don't need God. You've done this to yourself. You are a master of your trade and of the universe. One of my friends actually said this to me this week. We were on a call and he said, man, I've mastered that. And I was like, whoa. So you're a God. We say things like, do you know who I am? I demand a different service. Why is mammon so deadly? It leads us away from God. It leads us away from God. This was what Jesus was doing on the Sermon of the Mount. He was trying to offer a new pathway to the people, unlike the pagans. He's like, there's something better. There's a way that leads to fullness, and there's a way that leads away from fullness. 1 Timothy 6 says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from their faith, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Mammon is deadly because it's based on pride. I did this. Look at me. Look what I did. But there's a cycle that we fall into. Deuteronomy 8 does a beautiful job of unpacking this. He says, I want you to observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. Sign me up. I want to go live there, right? It's amazing. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock, and he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it may go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands, my skills, my abilities, my talent, my savviness have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant that he swore to your ancestors as it is today. There's no doubt that we see woven through the narrative of Scripture that God wants to bless you. But he says, be careful. And here's the cycle that we fall into naturally as humans because we're broken, is we have a failure to praise. Failure to recognize God, who he is. We have a failure to remember. Why? Because we forget. This wasn't me. It was actually him. We have a failure to observe and be aware of what's happening around us. And here's what happens is pride will enter our hearts. And we'll forget. You'll forget. And then you'll be deceived and you'll begin to think, aha, I did this. Look at me. You see, many of us get caught up in the moment and we forget the source, and pride fills our heart and we begin to run after the things that the pagans do. See, mammon is deadly because it destroys compassion in our lives and it removes the care and empathy, and everybody just becomes a means to an end to where I'm going. You see, 1 John 3 says, this is how we know what love is. As Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in the truth. What is Jesus' response when he sees people? Is he opens up his heart. And he meets their need. He leans in to their situation. Mammon teaches us to close our hearts and to store up treasures here on earth. And we say things like, not my people, not my problem. You said that. I think I told my wife that this week. Not my people, not my problem. And we move on. See, here's the story of Mammon. Why are you here? You're here for pleasure. You're here to fill yourself full of luxury and pleasure. What's gone wrong is there's a lack. I don't have enough. What's going to fix things is more. I need that whatever. How will it look when it is X? Is there's an abundance without God. Did you know that Mammon actually has a logo? It's this. Check it out. This is the Mammon brand. You're laughing because you have an account. And I do too. My wife has a Pinterest account. I have a Pinterest account. This is the Mammon boards. The life that you wished you had. The life, the person that you wished you would look like. Right? You may have looked on the Mammon board this morning. I don't know. I've been looking at them lately because we just purchased a new home. You see, some stop and read the scriptures. Some stop and read the Mammon boards. Ads are everywhere in our society. They're polarizing. Instagram, it wasn't that long ago that it was actually pure and there were no ads. And then Facebook. Thank you, Mark. Every few images, we have an ad. We say to people and to teenagers that you shouldn't look at pornography because it will deeply affect your life. You know what the question that I often ask? Where are the Mammon filters? Where are the Mammon filters? We're continually recruited into this life that draws our hearts and our minds away from God. To tell us that we have to have this life of luxury, of success, of self-achievement. It's a lie that is baked into our minds through carefully crafted advertisements that make you and I feel inadequate about the current life that we have. You see, it wasn't that long ago that a person living in 2021, you will see more ads today than a person who was alive 50 years ago saw in their entire lifetime. Today, you'll see more ads. You see, Jonas Sachs says this. He says, the Puritan values of thrift and modesty were smashed, abandoned for easy consumer credit, conspicuous consumption, and deep personal relationships with brands in terms of epic marking changes. And this has been a profound shift as the atom bomb. Just slowly taken over. He goes on, he says, Mammon through multiple generations has woven its way into the narratives and into the institutions, into the structures, and into the daily practices that have formed us, into people who think that the good life is a life of luxury, privilege, success, power, and wealth apart from God. See, if you and I are going to be people of God, how we look at money and how we handle mammon may be one of the defining marks of our discipleship unto Jesus. Here's the kingdom story. Why are you here? You're here for God. What's gone wrong is sin. Sin has entered our hearts. What's going to fix things? It's Jesus. How will it look when it is finished? Is there's going to be a restoration of all things. If you've wondered why you're here for this. You are here to bring redemption and restoration to our society, to Tulsa, Oklahoma, socially, spiritually, or culturally. There is something that God has uniquely in store for you to redeem and restore that is broken. That's your purpose. That is why you're here. But how do we resist this mammon? Is we have to lean into gratitude and we have to cultivate this deep sense of gratitude, and it's so difficult. I was pulling into my neighborhood just a few days ago, and pride began to swell in my heart as I thought about the property that I recently purchased that I was going to be pulling into. I thought, man, this is amazing. You did it. Look what you've done. See, I'm human just like you. But you know what happens? The Holy Spirit came into my car and said, pump the brakes, buddy. You didn't do this. I orchestrated this deal for you. This was me that led you to this place. I prepared this place for you. So I had to stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you. See, Hebrews 13 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The reality is this, is you and I spend little time meditating and contemplating who we are in Jesus. I was at my nephew's wedding just a few years ago, and I was sitting across the table from his brother, Bryce, who lives in Austin, Texas. And I said, Bryce, what does faith look like for you in Austin? He said, you know, I don't know. So that's fair. You see, we need to know what it means to be united with Jesus. And we need to know what faith looks like for us. And so this morning, I brought you just a couple reminders. And we're going to break up into small groups and just have a beautiful discussion. Just kidding, we're not doing that. Who are you in Jesus? He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a child of God. You are Christ's friend. You are a joint heir with Christ. You're getting the picture. A life of luxury is not going to improve your life. The next piece of technology is not going to fix your calendar or your productivity. I have people come to me all the time and be like, Pastor Jim, you got to get this app. It'll change your life. I'm like, no, it won't. Technology can't change your life. That house that you want in that perfect neighborhood is not going to bring you fulfillment. And here's exactly what's going to happen when you purchase that thing. Is you're going to say, that's it. That's it. That's it. I thought it would mean more than that. See, the spirit of mammon said there's more apart from this life with God. I want you to imagine for a second that you're about to receive an incredible inheritance from one of your relatives. And all you have to do is show up for the reading of the will. But you tell yourself, but you know what? I'm just too busy. I have too much going on. I can't make the trip. Thank you. See, that is what most people do with their spiritual inheritance. We have to cultivate a gratitude in our hearts. And we have to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. To resist mammon, we need generosity. We've got to be generous. 1 Timothy 6 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. It's tough. Kent Hughes, I love this. He says, every time I give, I declare that money does not control me. Perpetual generosity is a perpetual de-deification of money. Why do we use our giving liturgy every week? Because in some ways, it's this pushback against mammon that draws our hearts away from God and says, this is all you need. All you need is me. See, we must live in the kingdom of God in such a way that when people look at your life, they ask you, what's up with that? Why did you do that? When your life is chaos, yet you're still grateful. When you have nothing, or maybe you have bountiful supply, yet you're still unbelievably generous. You see, many times we get caught up in looking at the class above us and we judge them for what they have. But we need radical class distinction where we embrace where God has us within our current class, and we live in such a way that people look at our lives and say, hey, tell me about that. Tell me about that. Something's different there. What is up with that? And you can look at them and smile, say, hey, let me tell you about the good news. Let me tell you about this Jesus guy who's changed my life. We need radical class distinction, because here's what's going to happen. Is one day, you're going to have more than enough. And if you don't learn to live those principles now and develop them deep into your heart, here's what's happened. Mammon environments are intoxicating. They're intoxicating. They draw you in and you fill your heart with pride. Say, look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Look at my stuff. See, to resist mammon, we have to practice secret giving. The best gift is when nothing is given and nothing is received and nobody knows who gave what. How do we break the cycle of giver, gift, and recipient that often creates this power cycle of obligation? Have you noticed that? Now I feel obligated to do this for them. How do we break that? You remove the knowledge of the giver. You remove the knowledge of the giver. You may have to walk up behind a cardboard box because everybody's cameras nowadays to hide yourself. If you're dropping something off on their front door. You see, when you're on the receiving end of secret generosity, it's so frustrating, yet it's so beautiful. So this morning, I ask you this. What's the vision for your life? How is it different than the pagans? How is it different? What formed that vision? Where did that imagination originate? Where did it come from? For us to lean into this and to practice this, the sermon can't end today. And so I'm giving you some practice steps to go home with, to talk about in your micro churches and with your families. Is you need to go home and you need to read Matthew 6, 19 through 34 and ask yourself these questions and let the Holy Spirit lead you. So what does it say? What does it mean? What's one thing that I need to do with this? Because it's not more. Your life's not going to be filled with more. It's not going to satisfy you. Somebody needs to get this tattoo. Am I moving towards mammon or am I moving towards God? See, it's this tension that we live in this world that consumes us with stuff, with ads. lie that we buy into. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. In Matthew 26, we find Jesus at what we know as the Last Supper, sitting with his disciples. And he does something that was just so fascinating to me, is he takes this bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he begins to distribute it and give it to the disciples. In so many ways, this is such a great parallel to our lives, because this morning, some of you are here and you have no idea what God is doing in your life, because he's taking you someplace that you don't quite yet understand and you can't see. And you're like, man, what is going on? God, what are you doing? Some of you are living in a state of blessing, and it's beautiful. Cherish those moments. Don't let anybody rob that or take that from you. Some of you here this morning, and you're being broken. And you're like, I hate life right now. It's painful. My marriage it's terrible. This illness that I have no understanding of what's going on. God, why? And God is breaking you. Why does he do that? Because he wants to give you to advance his kingdom. He wants to give you to bring redemption and restoration socially, spiritually, and culturally. That way we can see our city transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's why you're here. That's your purpose, is to go and make disciples, to bring restoration and redemption. Now I'm preaching. Morning communion is such a great reminder and recentering of why we're here. Say, Jesus, I give you back my heart this morning. I've gotten off course, and mammon has taken control. This wafer represents Christ's body that he gave up for you and I. That way we could have life and freedom in and only through him. The juice represents his blood that he shed that day in giving up his life for you and I. I'm going to pray for us, and then we can take the elements together. God, thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. God, thank you for reminding us who we are in you, in Jesus. God, let us never forget and begin to deceive ourselves and let pride take root in our heart to say, look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. God, teach us to remember, to be grateful, to be generous, to give without being known. Let's take the bread together this morning. Drink of the juice. Thank you for being here this morning. Daylight savings, weather, a sermon on money. I like to take those kind of risks. If you're a guest with us today, I hope you come back. If not, we have a gift for you out in the lobby. It's a great shirt. You're going to love it. You'll see the You Belong Here wall, and Pastor Matt will be out there just to personally thank you for being our guest today. If you're signing up for our Giving and Serving Challenge, you can do that on cc.guide. Every week here at City Church, we close out with our mission. And let's say it together. Our lobby, unfortunately, is outside, so we do have umbrellas. You're welcome to use those to get to your car. We have some people out there to help you as well. So let's close out with our mission this morning. wherever you are. See you guys.